And the title of our message this morning, A Divine Gift from Above. Exodus chapter 16, we'll just read verse 13 to 21. So you can open your Bibles, Exodus chapter 16. If you have it, it reads as following. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is this?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the next morning." But they did not listen to Moses, so they left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stunk. And Moses was angry with the people. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. The good Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Holy Father, we confess that in the thoughts of our minds, in the desires of our hearts, in the ways of our lips, in the deeds we have done, we have sinned against you. We acknowledge also our sins of omission and negligence, the duties we have shrinked to do, the opportunities we have missed, the words of encouragement and witness we have not spoken to others, the deeds of helpfulness and love we have not performed. We are truly sorry, O Lord, for what we have done, that we have displeased you. Have mercy upon us and forgive us our sin, as we freely forgive those who have sinned against us. Cleanse our hearts and so strengthen us by the Holy Spirit, that we may walk in the newness of life through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Friends, it is normal for people to think of gifts during the season of Christmas, isn't it? Some will receive gifts and some will give gifts to others. But none of the gifts received and the gifts given are actually perfect gifts. You cannot have a perfect gift given to you regardless of the occasion. There can be a gift that you are given on Christmas Day, or a gift given to you on Valentine's Day, or on your birthday, or on your anniversary. But none of the gifts can be a perfect gift, because a perfect gift is a gift that can only come from God. Where we just read, friends, the Bible tells us that in the wilderness the people had no food. When they've left already, they've left Egypt, but now they find themselves in the wilderness without food. That tells us that they were in a great need. But when they were in a great need, we see that they began to doubt God. They began to believe wrongly. They began to convince themselves that Egypt, the house of slavery, was actually better than the promises of God. And they thought, actually, it was better to be a well-fed slave than a hungry free man. Sometimes people think that way. And of course,
God knew their thoughts. God knew their needs. He knew their complaints before they even complained. And we realize that God loves His people. He prepared something for them. He prepared something special. He had prepared an extraordinary gift for them. A divine gift from heaven. An unexpected spoil that would be received undeservingly by the people of God. We see an extended arm of generosity from one who has everything. One who has an abundant in His storehouse. God Himself. So, this morning, friends, I want us to consider at least three important facts about this gift from heaven that we are looking at. Three important facts about the gift that the people received, the bread from above. Firstly, I want us to realize that it was a perfect gift. Verse 2, if we read back, verse 2 and verse 3 tells us that the people of Israel, they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. But what you realize there is that actually they were grumbling, they were complaining about God. They were complaining and they were angry at God, saying actually God should have just killed them painless in Egypt rather than to bring them to die of starvation in the wilderness. And their murmuring, friends, their complaint came to the throne of God. That is why we hear God says in verse number 4 of the same chapter, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you." Please notice that. I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. Something from above is coming to reach you where you are. Something from above is coming to reach you in your needs. And in verse 13, the Bible tells us that the bread came down from heaven. It came down from God. Just like every good and perfect gift, as you read in the book of James, it came from God. Verse 13 reads as following: "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew laid around the camp." I think let's read verse number 14 as well, just to have an extension of this perfect gift. Verse 14 says, "And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground." That was the bread that came from God for the people to pick it up, for the people to appreciate. It came from God as a perfect gift, regardless of how the people considered it. Friends, it was a perfect gift. This gift, this bread, was unique. This bread was never seen on the surface of the earth before. It was something that came from heaven. It was new. It was fresh. It was something new in the eyes of the people. Even the people marveled at it. If you read in verse number 15, the Bible says, "When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is this?' For they did not know what it was." But listen, Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." What we see is that Moses emphasized that though it is something new, though it is something unknown, though it is something that they did not expect as it is, yet it comes from God. Therefore, it is a perfect gift because it came from God. Unless a gift comes from God, a gift is not a perfect gift. And the only thing the people had to do with it, the only thing anyone had to do with the gift that comes from God, is to receive it with great joy. That is what the people had to do. So although it was given to the people, it remained God's bread. Regardless that it was given to them, it remained God's bread because God had to put rules and consider rules and regulations, if you will, because it belongs to Him. It can only be treated the way God wants it to be treated. It can only be received in the manner in which it pleases God. It can only be received in the manner that is good in the sight of the Lord. Yes, it's given unto them, but there is responsibility as perfect as it is. Although it fell to the ground, although it was on earth among them. Listen to my words. Although it was on earth among them, it belonged to God. It was heavenly, not earthly. That is what we see here. So it could only be received accordingly. It can only be received according to God's will, always. So as we look at this bread in its Old Testament form, friends, we realize that it pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this bread in its Old Testament form, we see that it foreshadows the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that God sent this manna when his people were in the wilderness of sin. They had forgotten their slavery in Egypt. You might look at them and blame them, but ask the question, is it not so with us? Don't we forget where the Lord, the things that the Lord has taken us out of? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we think of the things of the past. Sometimes we might think that the ways of the past are best ways to deal with issues, current issues or issues at moments. Sometimes we forget the things that the Lord is doing for us. The people here, we realize that they valued the beauty and the splendor of the world than the promises of God. And we may also be guilty of that, desiring the deadly sweetness of sin from time to time. The garlic and the cucumbers of Egypt, the things that looks beautiful out there, that is what they desire. That is what we normally will desire in our sinfulness. The people then needed to be reminded, friends, that God is in control. How is God going to remind them that He's in control? In their time of need, where they will look on the east and look on the west or south or north, and they find nowhere to go. They find no one to provide for them. There is no way they can believe that something can come for them, or someone can come for them to give them something of sustenance. So we realize that God performed this miracle to show them that He is in control. This bread that came from heaven confirms, friends, that God's love is upon His people. His saving purpose is upon His people. It confirms that God is able to take care of His sheep. He is able to provide for His people regardless of where they are or what they are in need of. He is able to lead His people to greener pastures like a shepherd leading his sheep. The Bible says then God gave them a day's portion every day. A day's portion every day. We can see that is consistent with the way God deals with us even today. Even today, God gives us a day's portion for every day. Remember the prayer in Matthew chapter number 6? Give us our daily bread. In other words, be our portion, O Lord, but also be our sustenance. Provide for us. Be our provider on daily basis. We depend and we trust in You. That is what the Lord wanted them to do, to depend and to trust in Him. He gave them a day's portion. He wanted them to trust in Him. He wanted them to have faith in Him, even in the wilderness of sin. He wanted them to look around and see nothing beautiful of this world, but also to look up unto Him, to trust only Him, to depend upon Him. He wanted them to trust in Him, even when the day seemed to be long and the night seemed to be short. Sometimes in life, things like that happens when you looks like the day is long and the night is short. Sometimes the night is longer and the day is shorter because of the troubles that you may be going through as a person, yet the Lord was there to provide for them. But something amazing as well here. It tells that it was in the evening when this quail came upon and covered the camp. It was in the evening when the manna came. It came at night. Such an amazing way the Lord deals with history, friends. Because when we sing also, when we sing to the Lord, we sing silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, holy infant, tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. something of a parallel that the Lord does. He brought the manna in the evening. Now the Bible tells us that the shepherds also were waiting one day, and the star shone from heaven, telling them that they had to go somewhere, and they will find the baby wrapped in and lying in the manger. God deals with people, but he also deals in a way that he has done before. There are similarities, friends, in the way that the Lord does his things. But this, friends, was a perfect gift, because it came from God. Here is something of a great blessings that we need to cherish. The manna came to rebels. The manna did not come to people who were ready for heaven. People might tell you that the Exodus pictures salvation out of sin and so on. Maybe there's truth in that. But the people who came out of Egypt, they came out of Egypt, but they never left Egypt in Egypt. They came out with Egypt within them. They carried sin with them. They walked in the wilderness and sinned against God. You can read the book of Exodus. They played, they did all kinds of things in the wilderness. But the manna came to rebels. What a great blessing that the manna comes to people who are the enemies of God. People who forgot everything about God, the God who delivered them in Egypt. They forgot everything. They only complain. Friends, the worst part of it, these are the people who sang a song to God. You can be convinced these are the people who were saved. But as you look at their character, you realize that these people also needed a savior. Not just bread from heaven, that would be tangible bread. They also needed a spiritual bread. Because they were sinners. They sang a song in Exodus 15 saying, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him." They were singing this beautiful song. Such great confession. Yet when the going got tough, the first thought that came into their mind was to go back into the world. So you can sing as much beautiful, glorious spiritual songs as you want. You may sing emotion moving songs and raise your hands in worship, my friends. But there's no amount of singing, and there's no amount of motion or of emotional songs you can bring that matters if your heart is far from the Lord who has delivered you. They sang, but their hearts were still far. They were still far from God. These people actually, they forgot their Sunday song in the wilderness, if you will. They forgot the song that they were singing on Sunday. I'm bringing it in our context. Then from Monday to Saturday, they long for the fleshly diet of the world, the fleshly diet of the old life. They could not help but think of the things of the past, just to show that their lives were imperfect lives. Just to show that their lives needed something perfect to come from God. They desired the world. But God, in his mercy and grace, he sent them. He sent them that something that was perfect. He sent them something that was perfect in their sinful situation. In their needy time, he sent them something perfect. He sent them a gift from heaven. The bread from heaven. A perfect gift. Regardless of their attitude towards the gift, but God gave them this gift, and it was a perfect gift in the eyes of the Lord. That reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse 11, the perfect one from heaven, he came to this world. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But friends, the fact that he was scorned, he was not received, did not change the fact that he was perfect. He came and he was a perfect gift who came to a sinful people. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do we see that, friends, in the wilderness of sin, we need something perfect. They needed something perfect, and God gave them something perfect. But secondly, want you to realize that this gift, it was undeserved gift. Instead of God counting their sin, as I've mentioned the sins before you, instead of God counting their sin, He gave them an undeserved gift. He gave them undeserved bread. Verse 16 says, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer or a 2-liter bucket according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." In this verse, friends, we see that an undeserved gift is given to an undeserving people. God does not look at how sinful these people are. He just gives them. He says, "This is what you will take in accordance to the number of the people that you have in your tent. Take it. Yes, you do not deserve it, but take it." We see that God, in His mercy and grace, He opened the storehouse of heaven and rained holy and divine bread to a sinful and unrighteous people. An undeserved bread. God provided to these people, a people who deserved His wrath for their sins, He provided for them. But I want you to notice, He did not provide for them because they had complained. No. It is not because these people complained, friends. But it is because God was complaining within Himself, or God was complaining to Himself of the sins of the people. God will not provide something just because people are complaining, but because their sin came to the face of God, then He decided to give this to them. We can also see the same kind of language or idea in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Why? Because of the sinfulness of men, God feels something negatively about it. Then He provides something that people do not deserve. In the book of Genesis, what happened? He provided them an ark. Because of their sin, He provided them something to save them. Something they did not deserve. The very same Noah, the Bible says, he received grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace, friend, is unmerited favor. Something that you did not deserve. We see the very same thing here. The people did not deserve this bread. Yet the Lord saw it right in His grace and His mercy to give to these people. These people were happy where they are. You yourself was happy where you were. You were happy in your sin. You never wanted to leave your sin. You can convince yourself that you wanted to leave your sin. But the fact that you continued in your sin, it shows that you never wanted to leave your sin. At the bottom of your heart, you never wanted to leave your sin. Yes, your mind maybe was trying to convince you this is wrong, this is right, but your heart was still corrupt. You were dead in your sin and your trespasses. You did not deserve the gift of God. You were happy in your sin. You were not willing to let go of your idols. You are not willing to let go of your old life, your old ways. Yet God sent bread from heaven. He sent this undeserved bread, a picture of what He will do with His Son, a picture of what He will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He sent forth His Son, born under the law, born of a woman, to redeem those who were captured under the law, those who were found sinners under the law. He sent them. He sent them this undeserved gift. That is the kind of a picture we see here. So in the wilderness of sin, God purposely wanted these people to be content with this one and single gift. Remember, they cried out to God. They wanted meat. They were demanding whatever they wanted. They remembered things of the past. They wanted meat. The Bible is specifically saying they wanted meat. But friends, God knows what is right to give to His people. He gave them something better than what they asked. He gave them something better better in God's eyes. Regardless of how they will feel, He gave them the manna. Something they did not deserve. He gave them something they needed. And in the same way, He wants us to be content about one specific gift. One undeserved gift. Of course, we as people want all sorts of things, different things. You can ask each and every person, what is it that you desire? What is it that you desire? What is it that you desire? We'll mention all sorts of things. That is natural. That is right. But the Lord look over all those things. And in the same way, He's looking over all these things that you want, that we want. He gave them the bread. He gives us the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what He gives us. That is the bread that we do not deserve. The Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing you need to realize here is that God did not ask men to contribute to this undeserved gift. He didn't want them to contribute anything. He wanted them to obey His commands. He wanted them to listen to His words. They could not contribute anything. They could not bring or take away anything when He gave them this undeserved bread. Of course, friends, we must believe. Of course, we must repent from our sins. But we're adding nothing. We can't even add faith to come to God. Because the very same faith is a gift from God. We will never have this faith unless Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to believe in Him, to understand that He's the Lord of all, He's the Lord of all, He's a gracious God. We will never have faith unless He gives us faith. So we can't add anything. So these people could not add anything. No one can add anything to this undeserved bread. That teaches us, friends, that God alone is the provider. God alone is the giver of life. So we cannot add, we cannot minus. So church, I want you to look now at God's love. I think as we consider this undeserved gift, we also see God's love. Look at it this way. Normally, you don't give gifts to your enemies. Nobody gives a good and perfect gift to his enemy. Correct me if I'm wrong. No one gives a good and perfect gift. Nobody gives an undeserved gift to his enemy. We don't do that. These people, friends, like I mentioned, they were sinful people. They were not sinless or righteous people. No. They were sinful and unrighteous. But God sent the manna to these people. People who longed for the things of the past. People who longed for the things they've left in Egypt. They were tired of trusting God. They complained about everything. They were tired of following God's ways. And that tells you they did not deserve the gift. They did not deserve the blessing that came from heaven. But God looked over that. He looked over their foolish hearts. He looked over their sin. He looked over their worldly desires. He realized that they were lost people. And then He had to show them the way. The only thing you can do when you find a lost person is to show them the way. He realized they were lost. So He showed them the way. He pointed them to Himself. That is the only way. So it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to a world that was desiring only worldliness. People desiring things of the world. Lost people. Undeserving people. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, He poured out His life. He poured out His life for us. He hanged on that tree for us. So that whosoever is hungry may eat of this bread of life and live. Undeserved bread. In John 6, verse 31 and 32, we realize that, just to summarize, they realize that they need the manna. They remember that they need actually bread from heaven. But when they come to Jesus, it seems like they still think that they need to get the literal or physical manna that came in the wilderness. Yet in response, the Lord Jesus Christ tells them that actually there is no other literal manna that will come to the people. He alone is now the true manna. The manna which is the bread of heaven. An undeserved favor, an undeserved gift that comes from God. He points to himself. He is the true bread of heaven. He tells the Jews. He tells them that the manna of the past served a greater purpose. It was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who was supposed to be that great expectation, which they will expect something to fill their spiritual hunger, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that bread, the bread of life, the real manna which feeds the true Israel of God. Not the manna of the old, which fed every individual who came out of Egypt, regardless of their sins. While they were sinking in sin, sinking to rise no more, they ate the manna. But this true manna is for true believers. This manna can only be eaten by those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are willing to walk in the ways of the Lord. It is the manna for the believers. They alone can eat this manna and have eternal life. I'm saying so, friends, because someone will say, anyone can eat this manna, the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, friends, only those who eat this manna and truly eat this manna have eternal life, which is now a proof that they've eaten the real manna. Because you cannot eat this manna and still be left out of eternity and have your own eternity in a different place. Those who eat this manna have eternal life. But those who ate the manna of the old, they only filled their bellies. They died and scattered in the wilderness. Undeserved bread coming to undeserving people. The question is, how do you receive this undeserved gift from heaven? How will you receive this? Verse 16 says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Gather up with each one of you as much as he can. Here's what is important. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the person that each of you has in the tent. We are told, even commentaries will tell you that the people had to wake up every morning and actually pick this manna, pick this bread from the ground. The picture that we see here, friend, is that if you want to receive this undeserved gift, you need to be on your knees. You need to show a sign of humility. You need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so that He will be raised within your heart, so that He will rise up and be glorified in your life. They had to bow on their knees. That's the only way to receive an undeserved gift from God. To be on your knees. To spend time on your knees. To humble yourself before the Holy God of heaven. They had to be on their knees. That is what we see, friends. So we must beg Jesus. We must bow down and beg Him for His salvation. We must bow down, beg Him for His salvation, but after salvation, for His sanctification, that He may keep us holy and holy throughout our lives until He comes again, so that when He comes, He may take us home, so that we may be where He is. We must beg Him for that, because it does not happen naturally. We are sinners by nature, saved or unsaved. That is why we need to cling to that old, old rugged cross. To draw strength and sustenance, if you will. Something that will keep us going throughout our journey. Unless then we think we deserve Jesus Christ. Unless we think we deserve His love and His forgiveness. Unless we think it is our moral right to call Him Savior, but we cannot call Him Lord, or we cannot have Him as Lord. Unless we think we deserve everything that we have. Because if then we deserve this undeserved gift, then we don't have to bow down because we deserve it. But if we have concluded that we do not deserve, then we'll bow down before Him. Saved or unsaved, we'll bow before Him and beg Him for mercy each and every day, for strength each and every day, for protection each and every day, because we do not deserve. So we need to take hold of this undeserved bread and feed our poor souls. I know it's a verse that is always there, but as I was preparing this message, I happened to come across this beautiful verse to show us how undeserving we are, but to show us God's love and mercy and grace. Isaiah 65 verse 1. I am ready to be sought out by those who did not ask of me. I am ready to be found by those who do not seek me. I said, hence I am, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. An undeserving people. God is ready. He says, I'm ready to be found by those who does not deserve. I'm ready to call them my people, and they shall call me their God, because they did not deserve. So it was an undeserved gift. Thirdly, it was a sufficient gift. Verse 18 says, but when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could. Friends, you can have a lot of money in this world, but money is not sufficient. You can have a lot of food and store it in storehouses. You can have a lot of water and have it in tanks, but it will never be sufficient. Yes, maybe temporarily it may be. Maybe for a little while it may be, but soon and very soon it will be gone. It will be destroyed. It will be spoiled. Nothing is sufficient for us in this world. Even literal bread, the bread that you may have from Albany or from wherever, whoever baked bread, it may be sufficient for a little while, but it is not sufficient forever. Only Jesus Christ is sufficiently sufficient. Nothing of this world. And this is the picture we see as we look at this bread. It was sufficient. People gathered it. They put them in that omer. You can think of a bucket. It says maybe a 2-liter bucket according to the footnotes in your Bible. So everyone could have. It was sufficient for a day. It was sufficient to sustain the people of God. But I want you to notice something else, friend. The manna did not fall far from the people. That is why it was sufficient. It did not fall far from the people. The people did not have to climb mountains to find it. The people did not have to cross rivers to find it. The people did not have to pay for it. They did not have to have nights of prayers and exercise rituals and go crazy to find this manna or to obtain this gift of God. They just had to wake up the next morning, exercise faith, bow down, and pick it up next to their tents. Is that not the same with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ came where we were. If I was in prison, He came when I was in prison. It doesn't matter where His people were, where He wanted them, He came where they were. The manna fell not far from where the people were. So, friends, Jesus knows our needs. Jesus knows what will fill us until we want no more. He alone can provide what will fill us until we want no more. So we need Him, because He's sufficient for us. We need Him to keep us in our Christian journey. We need Him to sanctify us through and through. We need him to satisfy us. We need Him to remind us day to day that we need to feast on this manna, on this bread, the bread of life, the sufficient bread of life. What does this tell us? Friends, in other words, we need more than what this world can provide. There's so much, under quotation marks, that we can be promised that it is sufficient. But once we have this, you're not going to need any more. The world can promise those things. But we need more than that. We need more than physical bread, the bread that they received in the wilderness. We need more. We need something for our souls. We need God's salvation. We need God's Spirit to purify us. We need God's Word. We need His guiding hand. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is sufficient for us. He alone can deliver us from the power of darkness unto His marvelous light, unto His glorious kingdom. He alone can take us from where we are to where we are going. He alone is our future. He does not fill our bellies and leave us to die in the wilderness, hungry of righteousness. But He gives us eternal life, and that is sufficient enough for us. I would have asked and said, is Jesus sufficient for you? But I'm going to leave that one for today. He does not leave us hanging. He fills us. He feeds us, fills us until we want no more. He gives us eternal life, as I was saying. Listen to this glorious verse, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every, not one, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Jesus is sufficient for us. He makes us complete. In Him we are fully provided for. He knows our life. He knows what we will face tomorrow. And then He provides today for tomorrow. Because He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we will need when we get there. So then He laid down a table before our enemies, if you will. Because He knows what we will need the next day. The worry part sometimes is the fact that He does not always show us today what He has for us for tomorrow. But we can take comfort because it is there. He knows our tomorrow. He knows our need for tomorrow. And our provision is there, and it is sufficient for us. You can have the same kind of assurance in Colossians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, His grace is sufficient for us. So, in whatever we need, in whatever we may be facing with in this life, Christ, He is the gift from above, and He is the sufficient gift that comes from God. He sends that sufficient bread in the wilderness, and then now He has sent Himself, if you will, as a sufficient bread for us, even in this lifetime. He is sufficient for us. He has given Himself for us. So the bread in the wilderness, it sustained the poor, it sustained the rich, it sustained the young, it sustained the old, it sustained the followers, it sustained the leaders. The bread in the wilderness. Christ Himself does the same. Even more on a spiritual level, He sustained the leaders, He sustained the followers, He sustained the young ones. He calls the young ones to believe in Him. Because if the young ones will die in their sins, the young ones will not see eternal life. He calls the older one to come to Him. When everyone has come to Him, He calls the young and the old to remain in Him, to find Him sufficient enough to keep them in this world of sin, in the wilderness of sin. He is sufficient enough for all of us, regardless of age and everything. His grace is sufficient for us. So, gave them the manna in the wilderness. And I don't know, what is your wilderness? What you are expecting? But only Jesus is sufficient. Because you cannot make it out of any wilderness without the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Christ to save. You need Christ to sustain. You need Christ to teach you His ways. But above all, you need the sufficient bread to teach you to be obedient. Remember, the Bible says, I think it is in verse 19, it tells us that Moses said to the people, do not gather something that will last until the next day. What does that say? He's teaching them obedience. They must live their lives as lives of faith. So, another thing that I must bring, this manna, it fell to the ground. It didn't fall in the mouth of the people. What does that tell you? The people had to go out and get it. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he walked down the dusty streets of this world. He was among his people. He was despised and mocked. He preached the gospel. Some received, some rejected. But those who received, they had to believe and receive. That is the gospel we must remind people. That is what we remember as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace coming, but people have to also respond. The manna did not fall in the mouth of the people. I'm not going to ask those questions. Is this sufficient for you? Because you will think, yes, it is. Maybe let me ask differently. Does our lives, the lives that we live, look like we believe that Jesus is sufficient for us? In our marriages, in our growing up as young people, youth, is he sufficient? Since there will be those listening over the internet, maybe I should ask, although they are not here, is he sufficient for your life? Or you're going up and down, looking for something else, looking for miracles, looking for oil, looking for water. Is Jesus sufficient? Is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ sufficient? Maybe I should ask those things, because some people are listening over the internet. But Jesus is sufficient for everything, for us all. So friends, in closure, let me bring this few exhortation. You need to trust. Trust God. Trust that God will provide for your needs. Only He will provide graciously, without counting your sins, as we have seen. Only God will give abundantly. So do not lose hope. Maybe you are praying. You've been praying for long, and what you are praying for has not come to pass. Remember, just as He did with the manna, He provides miraculously. He provided for them miraculously, and He provided abundantly. He will do the same. But above all, let the manna remind you that you are a sinner. As you think of that gift in the wilderness, or the gift the Lord Jesus Christ, be reminded that you are a sinner. You need to go out and get it. You need to have Jesus in your life. You need to keep Jesus in your life. Unless you will starve and die. Let the manna remind you that sometimes you are a disobedient person, as I was saying. But learn to be obedient. Take one step at a time in the faith. Listen to the word of God. As Moses said, let no one leave anything of it over to the next day. Also, let us keep with the steps and the statutes of the Lord. Jesus is sufficient. And I'm closing there. Let us not look for something else. Let us not look for someone else. Jesus is sufficient. The gospel message that is preached in this church is sufficient. It is actually accompanied with miracles as people are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is sufficient. We do not produce anything else. We preach the gospel, and that is sufficient. Continue to believe in a sufficient Lord who gives sufficiently, who protects you, who guides you, and provides you, and provide for you. Cherish this God. Cherish this gift that came from heaven. May Jesus be everything for us and everything that we need. May He be the only one, the only essential bread, the bread that we do not deserve. may he be the only bread. May he be the only sufficient bread. Day after day, let us remember the words of the Apostle Peter. Where shall we go, O Lord? You alone have the words of eternal life. Why did he say that? Because the divine gift from heaven was a perfect gift, an undeserved gift, a sufficient gift. He found Jesus to be sufficient. Let's pray.